Begin Podfix Network transmission in 3, 2, 1.
This is Bewilderbeasts, an infotainment show dedicated to inspiring curiosity for all ages by investigating the ways animals intersect at humanity. I am not a historian, an ethologist, a researcher, a scientist, a zoologist, a trained audio engineer, or an expert in, well, anything. Y'all, I'm lucky if I can remember to put my clean laundry in the dryer before it gets funky. And while I make every effort to present things as accurately as I can with a fun flair, I'm going to mess up. And that's okay. I hope I've given you a nice place to jump off from on your own adventures into curiosity. Or at the very least, I've given you the key to win your next round of trivia. Hello and welcome to Bewilderbeasts. This is a Patreon exclusive. I'm your host, Melissa McKee McGrath. But you already knew that. It'd be really weird if you were supporting the show and had no idea what was going on. Anyway, we're going back to the racetrack and we're talking about some long shots on the track. Are you ready? Let's do this. So this week, we are back in the saddle, as it were. The horse Rich Strike, the now famous long shot to win the Kentucky Derby a few weeks ago, seems to have this in his blood. His dad, Keen Ice, was no stranger to upsetting the winners. He beat the Triple Crown winner American Pharaoh after he won the Triple Crown at Saratoga Springs. Rich Strike recently made headlines as he had 80-1 odds that he would win this race. That means the people betting thought that if this race were to happen 81 times, he would win one. He would lose 80. No one thought this horse could win. No one. In fact, he only got into this race when a horse pulled out at the last second. Well, in the last 10 minutes, really. See, the Kentucky Derby can only have 20 horses at the race. There are only 20 gates to start. So the 21st horse is basically there just in case someone scratches or decides not to run at the last minute. The horses have until 9 a.m. on Friday to pull their horse and get an alternate. At 8:45 a.m. on Friday, the trainer of Rich Strike figured that he wasn't going to run this race. In fact, they were already on the phone making plans to have him run in New York, which for those playing the home game is not anywhere near Kentucky, where the Kentucky Derby is famously run. They had to move this horse across the country so he could race in another state that weekend. That's what this trainer was doing. Cell phone calls, trying to figure this out with 15 minutes left to go, thinking that this horse was not going to run in the Kentucky Derby. At 8:55 a.m., the trainer got a text. Do not move this horse. A couple minutes later, the official call came to his cell phone. A horse by the name of Ethereal Road had pulled out at the last possible second. This meant that Rich Strike got a place on the start line, but he was in the furthest gate, meaning that while all the horses technically run 1.25 miles for this race, the further out from the first horse you are, the further you have to run to finish. Rich Strike had the longest distance to cover in this race, but he was in the freaking Kentucky Derby, y'all. That's awesome. And with every possible thing to work, depending on how you look at it, for him or against him, he was about to win this race. The analogy often used in most of the write-ups was to think of horses like race cars. Cars need gas to go, and the faster you go, the more gas you use in that time. The same with a horse's energy. They only have so much gas to give, and how you use it is part of the game. According to the Denver Post, summer is tomorrow, which I hope comes really soon because I'm freezing, but summer is tomorrow is actually a horse in this case. And summer is tomorrow was the leader after 1/4 mile, or 2 furlongs. I don't know how this works. I didn't look it up. But 2 furlongs is 1/4 mile, and he covered that distance in 21.78 seconds. He covered those 2 furlongs in the fastest time ever in Kentucky Derby history. No horse can sustain that pace for 1.25 miles. Think about running as fast as you can go around a track at your high school or at your track and field race. You run that as fast as you can possibly go. You're sprinting. You run one of those laps. But in order to do a mile, you have to do four. There is no way you can sprint unless you're some crazy, awesome, fast distance runner. You can't sprint that far that fast. And as a result, Summer Is Tomorrow wound up finishing dead last in the 20 horse field, 64.5 lengths behind Rich Strike. It wasn't just Summer Is Tomorrow, though. Many of the horses went out at a blistering pace because so many trainers and jockeys had decided their best move was to get as close to the lead for the opening portion of this race. The biggest indicator that this was going to be a wild finish actually came when the track announcer, Larry Kulmus, briefly stopped announcing the race at the half-mile mark. The opening half-mile was, whoa, blazing fast, 45.36 seconds, he said, famously. Now, famously, because this horse went on to win the freaking Kentucky Derby. Those fuel tanks and those other horses were emptying far faster than anyone expected. So at the half-a-mile mark, Rich Strike was ahead of only two horses. He was in 18th place. But then something happened at that half-mile mark. Rich Strike's way of running is to get faster as the race goes on. His record has him starting far back in all his races but finishing strong. And the people betting on these horses did not see that trend. Because he wasn't a winning horse, but his trainer knew and his owner knew, and that's all that mattered. In his last five races, Rich Strike went from 6th place to 3rd, 7th to 5th, 8th to 3rd, 11th to 4th, and then again 11th to 3rd. Rich Strike loves to take his time and zoom through at the last minute. It's his thing. It's also his thing to win with flair. The single win he had coming in was by 17.5 lengths. A length is the length of a horse running, so about 8 to 9 feet, plus how many more horses can fit in between the tip of that blazing fast tail to the tip of the next horse's nose. In this case, 17.5 horses, that's about 140 feet. That is 3.5 brachiosauruses, 4 telephone poles, laying the long way, not the short way, 5 London buses. That is a huge win. That was his only other win other than the Kentucky Derby. So when he wins with style. So while all of these other riders were desperately trying to keep a breakneck pace and keep up with Summer Is Tomorrow, which might actually be the next James Bond movie title, they all burned out of gas. Some could not keep going, and Rich Strike was like, oh, hey guys, I'm just gonna pass by you here and you too, and ooh, the Pony Miss Monk, House the Wife and Kids, Twilight Sparkle Butt, you can scooch to the left, I got places to be, like the finish line. The announcer didn't even see Rich Strike because if there's a horse in the Kentucky Derby with 80-1 odds, you're probably not watching him. He was on the outside of everyone in 18th place for most of this race, sneaking up on the inside rail, passing horses who basically stopped running. You might not believe what you're seeing either. And if you get a chance to watch this incredible run, which I hope you do, I encourage you all to go and watch this incredible run from the overhead cameras. NBC on Twitter has a great aerial view. Watch it again and again and again. And knowing that this horse started at the very back of the group, on the outside, he had the furthest to run. He had the longest of long shots. And in fact, if you watch the television side view, you lose him completely for more than 80 seconds. You do not see this horse. You do not see number 21, Rich Strike, in frame until after the announcer, struggling to keep up because the horses are going too fast at the first turn. He cannot believe that they ran that far that fast in about 45.36 seconds. So Put it this way, when the announcer is impressed, it's impressive, y'all. So when watching the overhead view, there's this cool graphic arrow over Rich Strike, who is at the back, as expected, as he was, quote, supposed to be, and he was just a placeholder. Truly, no one expected this horse to do the big things aside from his trainer and his owner and his jockey. He's nearly trapped in the back. The leaders are racing towards the right side of the screen, getting further and further and further away until they don't. And Rich Strike passes a horse in the middle and then another. And then there's a moment where it appears that he's stuck. He's sandwiched between horses like two horse-sized graham crackers squishing the marshmallow chocolate goodness that's a s'more. But then he parts them like Moses did the sea. And when they part, gaps open, pockets open, and Rich Strike opens his stride completely, he knows what to do with a pocket. And here's the best part. Even knowing what you know now, even knowing that 3 weeks ago this horse was all over the news for being one of the longest long shots in history, but not the longest, we will get to it. I won't speak for you, but I will speak for me. Even knowing this longest of long shots was going to win, I couldn't fathom how. He was too far back. There's no way. The finish line was fast approaching, and yet, he just got faster and faster while it appeared that everyone around him just slowed and some stopped running completely. I mean, yes, they were all still technically running their horses, and believe me, even at a slow run, a horse is pretty dang fast, but Rich Strike was truly fast. So fast that the last 15 or so steps, or strides, of the race, the announcer was so focused on the other two horses at the front, he didn't even see Rich Strike coming until he was 5 strides from the finish line. No one saw him coming. Not the crowd, not the announcer, certainly. Not the bookies, not the ladies in big hats with mint juleps, because it's the Kentucky Derby. Not the kids watching TV. Though I'd like to think if I was watching this as a younger me, I'd pick him just for the story with no actual money on the race because I was a kid. I love the story of the horse that was plucked 30 seconds before the deadline, who had the last post, who had number 21, an alternate number despite having 20 gates for the starting line. Young me would have been all over this horse. Rich Strike's story was a story I would have absolutely globbed onto as a kid watching the 17 hours of pre-race coverage, and he would have been my favorite for sure. And the people were long shots too. Not just this horse, a horse that cost way more than any car that I would ever own, but absolutely significantly less expensive than a horse who belongs to those with deeper pockets. 6 years ago, Ed Reed, Rich Strike's owner, drove home to see his barn on fire. 23 horses died that day. But the good news is in this horrible story is that the wind was blowing the right way, and that did not ignite the other two barns. Ed nearly bailed completely on horse training and racing at that point, because what is the point? But he stuck with it after those deeper pocketed pocket owners. Even after those deeper pocketed horse owners with the high priced trainers and the barns that had not caught on fire had reached out and helped him rebuild. Then when it was time to get points towards the Kentucky Derby, he needed to be in the top 20 and he was 21. The big name guys, the media, the guy at the mechanic, everyone told him, hey, you should just pack up and go home. But Ed Reed didn't. He stuck around. Even with 15 minutes left before the deadline, his number still wasn't called. The security guard that was assigned to them was relieved of duty, and yet Ed Reed stuck it out for the last remaining minutes of the deadline. Everyone counted them out except them. This horse, this owner, this trainer, this rider. They all stood until 10 minutes before the deadline, and that's when Mr. Reed's phone rang, said don't go anywhere. Minutes later, 30 seconds left before the jig was up, the jig still jigged. They were in the race when Ethereal Road, a horse who also was in the Kentucky Derby because other horses scratched from the lineup, was also scratched from the lineup. Ethereal Road's trainer, Hall of Fame trainer, D. Wayne Lucas. That's the letter D, the name Wayne, then Lucas, not Dwayne or DeWayne. Who's a Dutch DJ, I guess, or Dwayne Wade, the basketball player. This Dwayne Lucas did not like how Ethereal Road was running in warm-up, so he just pulled him from the race. Had that not happened before 9 a.m. the day before, or even 30 seconds before Ed Reed got that call, we would be talking about something else completely, like how fake poop helps owls thrive, or how there's a museum for dachshunds, or driving goldfish, which are all in my list, and we should get to all of those at some point. But those stories, to me at least, are not just as exciting as this horse and his epic run leading up to the third race of the Triple Crown. And that's still not even the longest of long shots. In the Kentucky Derby, long before we had aerial video or even a starting gate, just tape on the ground, we had Donnerail in 1913. Donnerail could not be stabled at Churchill Downs where the race was being held, and instead, due to overcrowding, he had to walk 3 miles from where he could find a stall to the race. He had to walk further than the race to get to the race in order to race. And with odds at 91-1, he won that race. And that's not even the longest of long shots. 206-1 odds against R.B. Wild Promise. That horse earned people who bet $2 a total of $415 when he won. Not too shabby for 2 minutes of work sitting in your seat and then jumping up in disbelief and then screaming your fool head off while hugging a total stranger. In fact, this horse was such a long shot, the scoreboardy thing on the field could only show him at 99-1 odds because their board did not go up to 3 digits. According to ESPN, 23-year-old Gwendolyn Crosser took ownership of RB Wild Promise, who I sincerely hope has a cooler barn name, but I can't think of anything other than maybe Ribby or Promy. Those aren't exactly working for me. I don't know what he's called in the barn. His former owner decided to just get rid of him. And that's how she ended up with him. She told ESPN that his former owner didn't like him very much and that he didn't run well when other horses kicked dirt in his face. He was able to win this race because he was able to stay pretty clean. A fast and fastidious race pony. This is my favorite part. You know the horse and races where there are people on horseback walking with the jockey on the big fancy expensive horse getting ready to run races like the Kentucky Derby? That's Gwendolyn's job. And she was able to ride the pony escort, I'm sure there's a better name for it, alongside her racehorse. Her racehorse that was racing in this race when he went to the starting gate. She wasn't even able to watch the race because she was working. That is a very different story than you usually see in these big fancy races where the owners and the trainers and everyone who has ever touched or looked at this horse, except for the grooms and the stable folk, are on the screen in floppy hats and nice suits. The Gwendolyns are more common, and I love her story. Gwendolyn was ID'd because she didn't look old enough to cash her bet that she put on her own horse. As RB's owner, she earned $8,600 for winning, which comes to about $5,000 after fees and taxes and all that jazz. She bet $5 on her own horse too, which netted her another $1,300. So combined, that's about what, $6,000? All of it went to feeding and boarding him for a couple of months. Remember that, kiddos, when you say you want a pony. $6,000 for a couple of months. Months of food and shelter. And that's still not the longest of long shots. The longest long shot that I could find was on YouTube, so take it with a grain of salt. Sal's Needle, a 341.70-1 odds, did the unbelievable. But I bet you'll believe it if you've been listening for the last 20 minutes. Or read the title of today's show. Sal's Needle was beaten by an average of 35 lengths, meaning you could fit 35 horses between him and the first place horse at the time of their win. That's so many horses. There was no way he could do what he was about to do. But you know what he did. I already told you, he freaking won. According to Punchers.com, quote, Sal's Needle is surely one of the few times that a 345-1 odds has in fact represented massive unders, given his form prior could only be described as end quote. He used all of his energy to essentially troll the whole racing world in this one epic race, laughing all the way to the bank, and then realized, meh, I don't actually mind getting dirty. I'm a fan of the back of the pack. And he immediately went back to losing for his next 11 starts at the gate. And the thing about upsets and why I want this out before Rich Strike's run at the Belmont Stakes next week, June 11th, 2022, if anyone is going to watch live, is that once you upset the lineup, you are no longer the underdog, but the one to beat, the one everyone has their eyes on. No one was watching Rich Strike warm up prior to the Kentucky Derby, but unless you really are into horse racing, the likelihood that you've seen any other name associated with this race coming up is slim. All the cameras are on the shiny new horse, the one who beat the favorites in the second longest shot to ever win the Kentucky Derby. And I want this out in the lead up to that Belmont Stakes race. I have no idea if he can replicate what he did. I do applaud his trainers for looking at this horse first and his health first and not pushing him to race the second race in the Triple Crown. The plan was always to run Kentucky and then Belmont. And adding a third race in between just for the crown seemed risky enough to the owners to not enter him and to let him have the full 5-week break, not get greedy for a crown. And I applaud that call with all of my being. Whether Rich Strike wins or he loses or he scratches or something else entirely wacky happens between now and Saturday, in this moment, in the anticipation and the appreciation for the long shots, will be preserved. And personally, I like it here in the place before the upset is proven to be a sure thing. The diamond in the rough or a fluke. I don't personally care either way. I am not invested. I'm not betting on horses or anything, but I do like the story. And I like this feeling right now, not knowing how it ends just yet. All right, patrons, thanks for listening and supporting. I hope you all have a great summer. Watch the Patreon feed for a few extra things all summer. I'll post the horse races mentioned here as content and a few other things all summer as I do your episodes. And if you have an idea that you'd like me to explore this summer, please let me know. I'm planning on doing a recording with Paul Chobo, the creator of Varmints, who I've mentioned here before. He's got a new show on piratey things. It's not up yet, but you can subscribe. It's called Avast, and it'll pop up in your feed, and it's not going to be on a regular schedule. It seems like it's going to be really fun. I heard the intro already, and we've gone back and forth on a couple of the things. I'm very excited to see what he's going to be doing with it, so it sounds like it's going to be fun. So if you guys are looking for a new show just to kind of start to subscribe to, that might be one for you. Avast on all of your podcasty things. But we are planning on watching a dog show this summer. I think it's in July. And we're going to record it best in show style. He knows nothing about dog shows, and I know a lot to get stupidly passionate and very angry about a lot of things at dog shows. So it will hopefully be informative and really funny, and you'll learn some things. It may or may not be appropriate for all ears. So if that's the case, I will find a different place to post it, but I will let you guys know so you can hear it if it's appropriate for you. And that way you can have a little bit more latitude as to what your littles are listening to. But yeah, I will keep you guys posted about that. Either way, it's going to be fun and it's going to be funny. I just want to make sure that it's going to be appropriate for all of my patrons. And if it's not, I will find a place to put it where it's got a little bit more of a lockdown. So just a heads up on that. So I think that's it for me for now. So until next time, go get curious. I got today's information from Wikipedia on Rich Strike, edge.twinspires.com, theathletic.com, Wikipedia on Donna Rail, ESPN.com on RB Wild Promise, and YouTube on watching that crazy 341-1 odds horse. 345-1. And please, tell your friends this summer, what is your favorite episode? Cow butt eyeballs? Seeing eye dogs? Cat butt science? Ooh, what about the horse who gave us the FDA? Or Emily Spinach? Go to your favorite rating site of choice, social media, say what you think about your favorite episode, share it with people. It's so helpful and it's easy. And it helps me see what people dig, what you like, what you don't like, all that stuff. And as always, from the infamous words of the Swirly Dan character of Letterkenny, I appreciate yous. Intro and outro music is Tiptoe Out the Back by Dan Leibowitz, incidental music by MK2, and additional music by Pixabay and freesound.org. Cannot thank you enough. Mwah! Now go have a great day. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Podfix Network. Discover more audible gems like this at podfixnetwork.com. Make sure to catch up-to-the-minute network shenanigans by following @Podfix on Twitter, @official_Podfix on Instagram, @Podfix Network on Facebook. And make sure to subscribe to Podfix Presents wherever you choose to find podcasts. The Podfix Network, artist owned and loved.